Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After presentations, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, you may press star one. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Ayesha Bell. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar. My name is Ayesha Bell, and I am one of the organizers for today's call. Today's webcast is being presented by Illinois Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health, and the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative. The title of today's webcast is Region 1 South Crisis Care System, Bed Tracking and Concurrent Review. You will hear from a panel of speakers today, and our speakers today are Mary Smith, Associate Director at DMH, Leanne Reinert, Clinical Policy Specialist for DMH, Pat Palmer, Clinical Director for the Collaborative, and Janet Gaspar, Clinical Operations Manager for the Collaborative. Before we begin the formal presentation, I would like to review with everyone a few helpful tools and housekeeping items for the online portion of the forum. One, if you happen to get disconnected from the audio portion, please call back into the same number you just dialed, which is 1-888-455-2170, passcode Illinois. The visual portion of this presentation is web-based. Of course, you can choose the audio portion only, but if you would like to log in to see the webinar presentation PowerPoint, the login information is located on the invite you received after you registered. If you are experiencing any problems with that particular link to join, you can also go to www.joinwebinar.com and enter the web ID 20485-1754. There will be a designated question and answer portion towards the end of today's presentation or between presentations. We ask attendees to hold their questions until this designated question answer period. The operator will then open up the lines for you at that time. Lastly, at the conclusion of the presentation today, we ask that you please complete the brief satisfaction survey that will appear when you close out of the online forum. And that should take less than 5 minutes to complete the survey, and we really value your feedback. Without further ado, we will now begin the formal presentation. I would like to turn the call over to our first speaker for today, Ms. Leanne Reinert. Leanne?
Thanks, Ayesha. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking the time to call in today. I know we've been doing a lot of training on really short notice, so we do appreciate your ongoing flexibility as we're trying to continue to get our Region 1 South's crisis care system up and running for the people that need to be served by that system. Today we are going to be talking about two different subjects, and we have a combined audience for the first half of the presentation, and then the second half of the presentation really is intended for a smaller audience. We have invited for this first half of the presentation our providers of mental health crisis residential services, substance abuse crisis residential services, as well as our community hospital inpatient psychiatric services. The first portion of the training will be on our bed tracking software, which we are excited to be able to be rolling out. I know that we have had a somewhat manual and cumbersome process that we had to implement because our bed tracking more automated system wasn't online yet, but we're glad that that's going to soon be coming your way. We think it will be more efficient for everyone involved and will continue to help us to track availability within our system and make the process smoother for our evaluators who are out in the emergency rooms doing the crisis work and trying to get folks to the next level of care where they need to be. So without further ado, I am going to turn things over to Janet Gaspard, who's going to go through the bed tracking portion of the presentation. Janet?
Thank you, Leanne. Good afternoon, everybody. What I'm going to go through today is a brief presentation of a document that shows you how to update your bed tracking information in the Provider Connect application. On your screen now, you should be able to see a document that's labeled Updating Bed Availability Information. The functionality for the bed tracking information will be available starting next week after we do the enhancements over this upcoming weekend. And you may go in each day and update your bed tracking information as is indicated. Updating the bed tracking information in Provider Connect will allow us to identify where the beds are available within the system and to be able to direct referrals for the consumers to those facilities and to those beds in the most appropriate manner. The bed tracking forms in Provider Connect consist of two different kinds of updating. There's updating that's related specifically to residential beds, so that would be for the substance abuse residential and the mental health residential crisis beds. There's also a section that's related strictly to inpatient, so that would be inpatient acute beds. As I go through the document, I can show you how both sections are updated accordingly. The first step when you go in to do your updating of your bed tracking, you will log in through Provider Connect, as you always do, and you will come to your home page. The bed tracking information is available on the home page and is easily accessed using the Enter Bed Tracking Information link. Once you've clicked on that link, you will pull up a screen. If you have only one servicing address, one servicing address will come up. You still need to click on that address and click that vendor address. If you have multiple locations, if you have a facility on Main Street and a facility on Brown Street, both those locations will come up and you can click on those locations to get to the appropriate location. Bed tracking is by address, so that makes it easier so that we know where the beds are specifically. Once you've selected the address and the location you're going to be accessing, you click on the Next button. This will bring you up to a page where it will show that there's the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative for access and choice. There should be a link there. If you do not have a link available at that spot, that is an indication that we have not updated your bed tracking information in our side of the system at the collaborative and that we need to complete that. That could be because you just submitted that information to us and we haven't had an opportunity to do that initial update. It could also be that you've sent in for one address but not another address, so that it's a sign that we don't have that information for all your locations. Once that little symbol comes up, that hyperlink, you know you're on the right track. You're going to go ahead and click on that hyperlink. That'll bring you to a page that will have all the bed tracking that you have available. For many of you, you only have one level of care that you're updating bed tracking for, either inpatient or the residentials. If by chance you do have a facility and a location that does both inpatient acute and the residential, the crisis residential or the substance abuse residential, you will have multiple choices here. As you can see in the screenshot, the top one is for inpatient, and the second section down is for residential treatment. So that's an indication of which kind of bed tracking you're doing. By clicking on the little plus symbol, it will expand out that section and give you further information. The first section we're going to go through is for the acute inpatient bed updates. On the screen that we're going to scroll down to, the fields that are there is going to be the bed count as of, and there's a calendar function there, total number of available beds and openings, total female beds and openings, and total male beds and openings. There's also a section called total female flex bed openings and total male flex bed openings. These are a little confusing, and the copy of this Word document will be available for you to reference so that you can easily see, but in many facilities indicate whether a bed is a male or female bed. They may have male and female rooms on the unit. But if there's no bed, if there's no consumers in those beds, even though it is a female room, for instance, if there are males that are waiting admission, the facilities is at times able to change over and use that bed for a male. So we have that female-male flex indicator there. once you've completed updating your tracking, you would just submit and then the update, and that would be available. As you can see here, here's a screenshot of the inpatient bed. So it's the bed counts as of, and you would put in the date that you're updating. You can either use the calendar button or you can type it straight in. For this example, the facility has 66 beds available today. They have 30 female beds available and open today, and these are beds that are open and available for admissions. These are not beds with anybody in them at this time, and this is an exaggerated example, I'm sure, but just to make it easy. So there's 30 female beds on the unit at this time. There's 20 male beds on the unit at this time. In the example here, they have 10 beds that are female beds, but could be used for males as well. So those are those rooms with nobody in them that they could make available, or if they have two females split up in two different rooms, they could consolidate and move to adjust if needed. And then there's six total male flex openings. When you add all these up, it comes up to the 66. So each day you would go in, indicate your bed availability, and when you're completed, just click the update button. It'll stamp that update in the system, and we'll have that available within our Care Connect system when we're searching for beds. The next section is the section for the substance abuse crisis residential or the crisis residential mental health beds. Those beds we track in a slightly different manner in the system because these are longer-term beds. We try to keep track of projected discharges and use those as possible. So if someone's going to be discharged tomorrow for a crisis residential bed, we want that ability to see that there's a discharge coming up and we could use that bed starting tomorrow, for instance. So because of that, the screens are slightly different. You're going to have a listing of the total number of licensed beds that that facility has at all times, and then you're going to have a listing of the beds that are occupied. When you expand out on the little plus symbol on the residentials initially, you get further little plus symbols down below to track on. As you can see here, the total number of licensed beds is not in an editable form. We at the collaborative will update that based on how many total beds you have available at the facility. When you go in to do your update, you're able to look and see how many beds you have available at the facility, how many beds you're filled with members that are not part of the collaborative. So patients from private insurance, other resources. So you can indicate here how many beds of those six you have occupied outside of the collaborative. The next section down is the projected discharges. When that section is expanded, it will show you the members, the consumers that are currently in the beds that the collaborative has authorized, so we can see our membership here, as well as the estimated discharge date. And that's a discharge date that's in our system that we can then reference to see when that consumer is anticipated to be discharged. You can override that. So if you have a projected discharge, and in this example, this Illinois higher level of care example here, the projected discharge, the estimated discharge, was for 616. If you're doing an evaluation today on the 13th and discharge has moved up, you're going to be able to step this consumer down, you can go ahead and indicate that new anticipated discharge date or actual discharge date, so that you can indicate that and update the system. The next section that you can expand out in the application and on the screen is other insured occupied beds for discharge. These would be patients that you have in beds that are private pay, for instance, in private insurance. You are able to indicate the beds that are occupied by other insured and the projected discharge date or the actual discharge date for those consumers, those patients. You can indicate there as well whether or not that bed's going to be filled right away. So if you have a private pay patient or private insurance patient that is scheduled for discharge tomorrow, but you have someone waiting admission already for that bed, we know it's then not available. So if you click off that little box, that will tell us that that bed's going to be filled, so we won't be calling you to ask about that bed since we know it's not going to be available. The same can occur up above here, as you can see, for the consumers that we have authorized services for. If that consumer is going to be discharged and you've already promised that bed to somebody else, you can check that off here as well to indicate that you're utilizing that bed outside of the collaborative. There are two additional sections, projected admissions and held beds for match admit decision. That's for a different setup that we can do for some contracts, and we will not be using that for the collaborative at this time. So you can just ignore those two sections. I'll scroll back up here through so you can see. So it's this section here, projected admissions, and held beds for match and admit decisions. Those two sections you can just disregard. Again, once you've updated everything for your residential bed availability, when you click on the update button, it will timestamp it in the system, and we'll have that information available immediately on our side so that when we're looking for beds for consumers, we'll have that information available. Mary Ann, at this time, if you want to open it up, if there's any questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. At this time, there are no questions.
Okay. Thank you very much for the time today. Again, this document will get posted so that you'll have it available to use as a cookbook the first couple times, but it is a fairly simple application and should not be difficult to do the updates daily, and it will be of great assistance with us working with the consumers. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet, and thank you all for attending this portion of the training. As you know, we do rely on you providing us with this information on a daily basis, and we appreciate your cooperation in continuing to provide that each morning. At this point, we are going to move on to the second half of the training, which is concurrent reviews, and that is specific for our CHIPS providers. That is the only level of care that we're going to be requiring concurrent reviews at this point in time. So if you are calling in from either Substance Abuse Crisis Residential or our Mental Health Crisis Residential programs, you are welcome to go ahead and disconnect at this time. You don't need to sit in on the rest of the training. So thank you again for your participation. And I'm going to go ahead now and turn over to Pat Palmer, who will go through the concurrent review process. Pat?
Thanks, Leanne. Good afternoon, everybody. As Leanne said, we're going to take a quick look at the concurrent review process. Many of you were probably in the training we did on the initial authorization process, and so this takes it the next step in that process. If I can get my computer to move here. So you've already been through the initial process of having an initial authorization provided to you for the consumer's hospitalization. If the consumer is still hospitalized when that initial authorization time frame is up, then that patient will need a concurrent review in order to continue their stay in the hospital. So 24 hours before the expiration of that initial authorization, or if that authorization falls on a weekend on the preceding Friday, the attending physician and or his or her designee will need to call the collaborative at 866-359-7953 and select option number 4 in order to request an authorization for continued stay. Concurrent authorizations need to be done during normal business hours, which in this case are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The collaborative case manager will then review the clinical information you're giving us in order to verify that the consumer meets the medical needs criteria for a continued stay. There are two parts to that medical needs criteria. One is the severity of illness, and the other is the intensity of services. Under the severity of illness criteria, we're talking about the individual who requires a continuous skilled psychiatric observation, some sort of planned therapeutic services, and or medication management. The individual will need to be exhibiting an inability to care for themselves due to their mental illness and their physical disorders, creating incapacitating symptoms or behaviors. The individual should pose a significant suicide risk if that's one of their issues. Those things may include such things as feeling hopelessness and worthlessness, a history of unpredictable behavior, impulsivity, poor judgment, a history of previous suicide attempts, a deterioration in their mood or cognition, an individual history of noncompliance with treatment recommendations, a family history of suicide attempts or completed suicides, an individual history of abusing drugs that could lead to impulsiveness or poor judgment, significant changes in their mood or behavior, a history of a recent loss, say a job or a relationship or a family member, preoccupation with suicidal thoughts, or the presence of a suicide plan with a reasonable expectation that they might complete that plan. Another criteria is that the individual would have a history of assaultive or self-mutilating behavior or evidence of being a danger of themselves or to others. Evidence of homicidal ideation would be another criteria. Or the individual would exhibit impaired reality testing accompanied by disordered behavior. Things like bizarre, delusional thoughts, illogical thinking, hallucinations, manic behavior, those sorts of things. The intensity of services criteria include things such as complex treatment being necessary due to coexisting conditions that require concurrent treatment. That may be something like say a diabetic who's neglecting their diabetic care because of their major depression, or depression due to cardiac issues, those kinds of things. Another intensity of services criteria would be a need for a controlled environment in order to protect themselves or others, isolation, suicide precautions, those kinds of things. If specialized treatment modalities are only available in the hospital due to a need for a special environment or special equipment or ancillary services, again, possibly psychotropic drug management, those kinds of things. Or if there's a high potential for readmission within 30 days, say a documented history of recent admissions or high-risk behaviors, lack of compliance with the last hospitalization's discharge plans, support systems that are unable to support a treatment plan, or a lack of being able to adhere to an outpatient milieu. And for patients meeting this criteria, the medical record must reflect efforts that are being taken to address those issues to resolve them. When you talk with the case manager here at the collaborative, some of the areas we'll be wanting to talk with you about include things such as who at the hospital has evaluated the patient and what the results of those evaluations are, their current mental status, including their risk of self or others, any current impairments, is the patient on meds, and if so, what kind of meds, what are the dosages, that kind of thing in regards to their medications. We'll want to know if family treatment has occurred, and if so, when, or if not, if there are plans for such. We'll want to look at what their baseline functioning is. We'll be talking with you about what the treatment plan is, including what the discharge or transition plan looks like and what the estimated length of stay is. And we'll also want updated diagnoses on all five axes. After reviewing all of the clinical information with you, the collaborative will verify that the consumer does or does not meet the medical needs criteria for continued stay. And, of course, if they do, the consumer will get an authorization, we'll approve that, and we will issue a concurrent review authorization. If longer-term services are indicated, the hospital should start to make arrangements for a more appropriate care setting. The patient may need a state hospital, may need a nursing home, something like that. But we're not looking for really long extended stays in a CHIPS hospital. If for some reason there's a difference of opinion between you and us concerning a request for an extended length of stay for the particular consumer, we will send it to for a peer advisor review, and that would be a doc-to-doc review. If the physician at the collaborative agrees with the physician there in the hospital, then we will go ahead and authorize the services. If the first physician does not agree with the extension, a second-level reconsideration review will be conducted with a different VO physician. If that second-level reconsideration review agrees, then services will be authorized. But if the second-level reconsideration review still results in a difference of opinion between what the collaborative is recommending and what the hospital is recommending, then we will pend that to a physician at the Division of Mental Health, and that physician will make the final determination. And that's the concurrent authorization process. We'll be glad to entertain any questions you may have about that at this time.
Mary Ann? Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and clearly record your name. At this time, there are no questions.
Okay.
Actually, we just had a question come up from Vanessa Anzo.
Oh. Hi, this is Patty Lazara from St. Anthony Hospital in Chicago for Vanessa Anzo. We just wanted to know, how do we get this presentation electronically?
The presentation will be available on our website in the next 2 to 3 business days, and that's the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative. I'll give you instructions at the end of the call.
Thank you. And also, we wanted to know with regard to the bed availability, bed tracking, when it's sent out next, it'll be sent out next week to the different organizations involved in the collaborative. It'll be emailed to us, or just how we're going to get that?
You will be going online and completing the bed tracking.
Yes.
And then that information will be available to the clinical care managers at the collaborative, who are called by the people who do the evaluations in the emergency room, and the clinical care managers will provide the information on bed availability depending on what type of, what level of care a person needs. The clinical care managers will share that with the evaluator who's in the emergency room for the specific person, but it won't be emailed out outside of the collaborative.
I understand that, but this link, is it going to be found on the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative website as well? Is that where we will start the, you know, inputting the information? How do we get the link?
Leanne, it's Mary. Can I answer that?
Yes, please.
So we sent an email out sometime last week, asking all of our hospital partners to complete some provider enrollment forms and
yes,
then to fax those over to Rich Jones. So once you submit that information, you'll be getting instructions so that you can get a provider ID. You will then go to the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative website and access Provider Connect once you have the ID, and then you'll be able to go in through that portal to enter the bid tracking information.
Okay, we did send that information, and I've yet to get an email.
Okay, well, I know the person who you sent it to is off today. I will follow up with him tomorrow. So that's how you'll be able to basically sign into the system to provide the daily updates.
Everyone to Jill.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
At this time, there are no other questions.
Why don't we wait a couple minutes to see if any calls come through?
Once again, to ask a question, you may press star 1.
Leanne, do you want to close the call, or do you want to wait a little bit?
No, we can go ahead and close. Thanks.
We just had one more question come up, actually, from Sharice Rosen.
Hi. It's just a follow-up for the request for links and the training materials that you're presenting today. If I could ask that you also email it to us. I did go online and find the Region 1 South Crisis Care System, the first presentation. But I actually did need help from the collaborative because there's so much information on your site. It was hard to find the direct information. So it would be really helpful if this was communicated via email.
Mary, do we have something we can send out to the email list?
So are you asking for a copy of the presentations that people went through today?
Yes, that would be really helpful.
I think we do have, you know, we could probably send it out, but here's the way to get to the training information. If you go to www.IllinoisMentalHealthCollaborative.com, a page will come up and you'll see a client and a provider portal. If you click on the provider portal, there will be, let me just bring it up so that I can give you the full information to look at, or Aisa, you can finish if you like.
Okay, I was going to give further instructions on where to find it. If that's
okay, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so today's audio portion and the PowerPoint will be posted on the collaborative website. You can see that on your screen, www.IllinoisMentalHealthCollaborative.com, and it will be posted under the Provider Resources heading. Just as Mary indicated, you will go into that site. You will see a tab that says for providers, and then on this, when that page comes up, you will see on the side provider information, and then go under the Provider Resources heading. And then you will see there the MP3 format for download, and that will be available in 2 to 3 business days. So just look under the headings, and you will see the MP3 format, and you will also see the PowerPoint.
Great. Thank you. And if I may just also, though, request email, because it's just I did try to find the other one, and it did take me a while. So, and the collaborative was very helpful in directing me to there. But it's just easier. That's all. Thank you.
There are no other questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Marianne. If there are no more questions in the queue, again, that will conclude our call for today. Again, please look on the Illinois Mental Health Collaborative website under provider information, under the provider resources heading to find the MP3 format of today's audio. as well as the PowerPoint, and that should be available within 2 to 3 business days. I would like to remind everybody that we value your feedback, so please take a few minutes to complete the brief survey that will appear at the close of the online forum today. Thank you, everybody, for taking time to join the webinar today. Marianne, you can please push the speakers through the post-conference.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference call. Participants, you may disconnect your phones at this time.